Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, baby. Welcome in. It is Wednesday. It is September 23rd. It is 3 minutes after noon, and it is the Rob Brown Show. Right here on ESPN Upstate. Hello to you, and how do you do, Upstate South Carolina? Great to be with you once again. 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM Spartanburg, and all around the world on the radio.com app. Diesel, give it to him, fella.
Stick to sports.
Yeah, that's what we do around here. That's what we do around here. Stick to sports, man. Sports. And nothing but sports here on the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate. What's up, big dog?
Just feeling a little drained today.
Like, yeah?
Literally, got drained.
You got drained?
Yeah.
You got the old sticky stick?
Yeah.
Nice, man. Out there saving lives is my man Diesel. He's a regular Captain America.
Yeah. By the way, did you hear that Chris Evans, not our Chris Evans, but like the Chris Evans? The Chris Evans?
Captain America Chris Evans.
He got himself in a little bit of hot water last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captain America.
Tweeting out photos of his Louisville slugger.
Yeah, buddy. Sending out pictures of little Captain America.
Hi-oh.
Captain America.
That's Major Shield. America to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's higher, Captain or Major?
Last week when you were out and we were doing Twitter trending topics, I think my favorite thing of the week was my man DJ Tim, who was filling in for you. And Tim's a good kid, man. Tim's a good kid. Good, clean, squeaky, clean kid. Was him trying to figure out how to have the conversation about Captain America's righteous sword being displayed for the world to see.
That's America's dingus.
How have we not called it Captain America's Red Skull yet? him trying to bring it up on Twitter trending topics, but maintain his adorable innocence on the show, and it was nothing short of hilarious.
By the way, I asked the question, and no, we were not allowed to say the name of that television show yesterday.
Really?
Even though it's the name of a TV show that's popular, that they talk about on other television shows, we can't say it because it's still the same word.
But it's not, though. It's got a C in it.
It's not the same word, but it is the same word.
Yeah, it's not the same word at all. It's a very different word. It sounds exactly the same. I'm really – because I got to tell you, I was very, very, very close to saying it yesterday. Like, when we were going back and forth, I was very close to saying it.
Yeah.
And just being like, hey, it's the name of a show. I can't get in trouble for that. I'm glad I did not now. But that all the more reason for me to thank you for the let's say it at the same time, 1, 2, 3, when I knew good and damn well you were leaving me, hanging me out to dry on that one. yeah, I'm glad we did not talk about the major pop culture phenomenon that is that show and swept its categories at the Emmys yesterday. It's so offensive, Diesel, that it won every award. It makes perfect sense that we can't say the name of a top-tier worldwide phenomenon pop culture television show that won all the Emmys. But, hey, man, we totally understand how the communications world works, you know?
Well, we understand how the lawsuit world works. And we are unlikely to win those lawsuits.
So I've been told. I think that was one of the – when I got the call to come up here and do this show, when I was doing all the onboarding, and, of course, we have to go through our corporate training just like everybody else. One of the biggest things we got, I had like a 3-day training, Diesel, 3 days worth of training, only focusing on lawsuits that communication companies have lost in the recent past. That's all it was. It was like, and we lost this case because this, and the court said this, and we lost this case because the court said this, and we lost this case because the court said this. It was just that after that for like 2 or 3 days at a time. It turns out that it was probably for the best now that we did not tell you the name of that TV show star. Who was in that? I think Jason Bateman's in that show.
Can we just call it John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmitz Creek?
I believe that would be allowable.
It's too late now. If it's not, it's too late.
Yeah, if it's not now, if it's not now, then the next hired intercom communication has just got a 4th day added onto their training.
His name is my name, too. It's time for the lunch breakdown.
The lunch breakdown. The 3 things you have to know before you go start talking sports with your friends, family, coworkers, boss, the dog, or the wall, whoever you spend your lunch break with. We start with this speculation rising around the media world that covers the National Football League that the NFL's injury-riddled Week 2 potentially, theoretically have been caused by the lack of the preseason. We had at least 25 injuries to predominant players in the league take place this weekend. Saquon Barkley, Nick Bosa, Cortland Sutton all going down with torn ACLs. We obviously saw Christian McCaffrey suffer a high ankle sprain. Packers receiver Davante Adams strained his hamstring. Colts safety Malik Hooker ruptured his Achilles tendon. A whole lot going on, and now the questions are being asked of the NFL and, wait for it, the NFL Players Association. Could this be connected to a year where we had no preseason for players to get their bodies into game shape? Mike Zimmer of the Minnesota Vikings was asked that point blank yesterday, and he said, quote, "I wouldn't know. Typically when we don't have the things that we have prior to the season, we get more injuries. Usually it's hamstrings and things like that, not the major injuries that have been occurring. As much as guys don't want to say they see value in a preseason, I think there's a natural ramping up period that the coaches put the players through as far as the amount of contact they have. You are putting the body in a very stressed environment, and that matters," end quote. Also went on to hear talk from others. One of the Vikings coach Mike Zimmer went on to say that, quote, "I do think there is probably something to the fact that they didn't play preseason. You look at a lot of these injuries, and they are acceleration to deceleration injuries. Not necessarily getting to prepare the body for those stressful environments means it isn't as conditioned when it comes time to go 60 or 70 plays at full speed. Those little muscle fibers and connective tissues that hold things together are not as conditioned as they would be," end quote. So the NFL and the NFLPA is being called to the table now and is being asked, is this a result? Are these players getting injured a result of not having the time, the ability, or the environment to get those players top to bottom in full and entire game shape, not having them ready in terms of the violent little cuts and shifts and turns and lefts and rights that they traditionally receive warm-up time for during the preseason? Is that the reason that there have been so many injured players on the field for the NFL through the first 2 weeks of the season? And I hate to speculate because I am not a doctor, nor did I stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But I think it would be a stretch not to say, yeah, that obviously has something to do with it. There's no way, it doesn't feel at least, there's no way that there's not some element of belief that that is the case, right? I mean, how could you not chalk that up? So now the question is going to be, will the NFLPA and will the NFL answer for that? Will the NFL and the NFL Players Association step up and say a mistake was made, or will they just kind of sit in the darkness and let this thing be what it is? I suspect that that is the case. I suspect that the case is that ultimately you will see the Players Association and you will see the NFL itself not do anything in this regard. They won't do anything. They're just going to let this thing die off and be what it is, which, I mean, again, there's at this point, and I think this is one of the things that 2020 is trying to teach us, unfortunately, there are just going to be times in 2020 where mistakes are made. None of us fully understand all of the threats, all of the risks that this pandemic puts on the table for all of us. And so sometimes you just have to make decisions. That is one big thing that the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the Mountain West, and other football conferences are dealing with right now. They thought that when it came down to it, it just wasn't safe to host football games, and they hit the delay button. Were they wrong in doing so? I don't think so. Ultimately, the decision, at least so far, although we will see a change of that coming up in item number two, all of that so far looks to have been an incorrect assessment, because we now see the ACC heading into week three. We have seen the Big 12. We have seen a number of other small football conferences playing through 3 weeks so far, and so far, minimal issues have popped up. Now, that brings us to item number two, which is we learned yesterday as this show was going off the air that the week three matchup between Notre Dame and Wake Forest has officially been postponed after Monday's round of COVID-19 testing for 94 players on the Fighting Irish roster revealed 7 new positive tests. So 7 players in quarantine, and then roughly a dozen more are being quarantined because of contact tracing. The day prior, the program announced that 10 players sat out Saturday's 52-0 win over USF at Notre Dame Stadium due to 4 positive tests and 6 others placed in quarantine from contact tracing. Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Times reported yesterday that USF tested twice and every player on that team tested negative. That is great news, as those players could have possibly, and it's not a for sure. We know that, again, you had 4 positive results going into that USF game for Notre Dame. 10 more players contact traced it out, there is the possibility, despite their best efforts, that more players could have been in contact with those 4 positive, played on the same field as USF, been within breathing room face-to-face with the USF players. Who knows if it did or did not spread to the rest of those players. But the point goes back to item number one with the National Football League. Every team is taking calculated risk. Every league, every conference, every association, every organization, and this is not just in sports, this is in real world as well. Every organization is taking calculated risk to minimize the spread of COVID-19, but to still be able to perform the functions that they need and want to perform out in public. And the NFL and NFLPA did just that. They felt like a calculated risk, and I don't think it was a bad one per se, a calculated risk was to cancel the preseason. A calculated risk was to have no preseason, limit the amount of team-to-team exposure until the regular season started. But now it appears that that calculated risk, although it may have been a good one to limit face-to-face interaction or team-to-team interaction, now it may be the cause of seeing at least 25 names go down to injury in the NFL in week one. We'll address that further later on in the show, but we got to get item three in here before we take our first break. Item number three and your lunch breakdown. Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons faced the music after that historic 40-39 meltdown of the Falcons to Dallas on Sunday. He was asked what changes were going to be made to the coaching staff what changes were going to be made to the play calling on the defensive side of the football in the Atlanta Falcons' return to play coming up this weekend when they take on the undefeated Chicago Bears at 2-0. Dan Quinn was asked, what changes are the Falcons going to make? And his answer was, in just the truest of true Dan Quinn styles, Dan Quinn said, and I quote, no changes. I'm involved in all of the defensive calls and all of the preparation as well, end quote. How happy are you to be a Falcons fan when your team, leading 20-0 at halftime, when your team, up 16 in the fourth quarter, gives up a blow-up collapse of a loss to a mediocre Dallas Cowboys football team, and your head coach, when asked by the media, what changes are you looking to make, could not even give the answer of, hey, there's some stuff we're tinkering with. There's some ideas we've had. There's some coverages and some schemes we're looking into potentially doing a little adapting to. And instead says, yeah, we're not doing anything. We're totally happy with the way things went. We're not doing anything. What a great look for the Atlanta Falcons, huh? What a great look for the Atlanta Falcons. If you are a Falcons fan right now, and remember, before you get all snappy at me, remember, I picked your team to be a 500 or better team this year. I thought that your team this year was going to improve dramatically on what you were last year. In fact, I got laughed off the radio by listeners, and apparently deservedly so. I got laughed off the radio by listeners because of the fact that I believe the Atlanta Falcons were going to be a decent football squad this year. I thought there's no way that even Dan Quinn is going to be able to coach this level of talent down to mediocrity, and I was wrong. And after he does so, he decides there is no change at all that he feels needs to be made to the Atlanta Falcons and the way that they approach games. Good luck, Falcons fans. Good luck. Quick break. We come back in a minute. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Here we go. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hope you're doing exceptionally well. Adam Schefter just tweeted this out. Remember on Sunday's game, we got our first look at rookie phenom Justin Herbert, who stepped in to the role for the St. Louis, it's not even the right city that they used to be in, the LA Chargers. As Tyrod Taylor was rendered unavailable, he had a chest injury. Well, Adam Schefter has pointed out that we now know the cause of that injury. Check this out, Diesel. This is the first time that I get to correct an Adam Schefter tweet. This will never happen again, but I get to correct an Adam Schefter tweet. Schefty tweeted out this a minute ago. The Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured his own quarterback, Tyrod Taylor's lung, just before kickoff Sunday while trying to administer a pain-killing injection to the quarterback's cracked ribs, league and team sources told ESPN. I get to correct that tweet by saying this instead. Diesel, the Chargers' former team doctor, accidentally punctured his own quarterback, Tyrod Taylor's lung. Could you imagine being Tyrod Taylor? You get one more shot. You have had a number of times where you have taken over a team, you've been pushing forward as the starting quarterback, and then some new dude shows up in town and takes your starting role. Some new guy rolls up into town and bumps you down on the depth chart. Could you imagine being Tyrod Taylor, showing up for the game? You're finally the starter. You know that this year is your year to prove yourself. You get to be the guy. You got Justin Herbert in the wings, but the Chargers have told you straight up, this is your team this year. Justin Herbert is a guy we want to give a year to warm up, to learn the game, to get comfortable, etc. You show up for game day. You got a cracked rib. It hurts a little bit, no doubt about it. I've had a cracked rib. It sucks, I promise. You show up on game day. The doctor says, hey, man, we got a little sticky stick we're going to give you right here in the chest. We're going to pop this little needle in there, and all that pain's going to go away, and you're going to be able to go out there and play quarterback. You got a chance to not only go out there and gut it out through an injury, but to gut it out through an injury, get the dub, and prove that you are a starting quarterback in the NFL. And maybe even if the Chargers do decide that Justin Herbert is the guy next season, you at least can go earn your contract. There's a handful of squads out there that are going to be looking for their next quarterback. And if Tyrod Taylor has himself a day this year, he goes out there and earns himself a new contract. You show up to the stadium ready to roll, ready to prove that you the dude. The guy punctures your lung and collapses your lung with a hypodermic needle right before kickoff, and you've got to turn your starting spot over to rookie phenom Justin Herbert. You got to turn your spot over to the guy who was slated to already take your job next year and lose a week where you would want to go out there and prove that you are worth being the starting quarterback next year. Ouch. Ouch. That's supposed to be your shot. That's your opportunity. And you lose it because a doctor incorrectly administers a shot and pops your own lung. That sucks, man. I can sit here and try to hot take this thing. There's no hot take for this. There's no, well, if Tyrod Taylor did this, or if Tyrod Taylor did that, or if the Chargers did this, or if the Chargers did that. Dumb things happen to good people sometimes. I don't know Tyrod Taylor personally, but I do know this is a cat that has struggled. I do know that this is a cat that has been busting his ass to get himself another shot at starting at quarterback. I do know that this is a guy who, when the Chargers gave him the opportunity, when the Chargers gave him a shot, when the Chargers said, hey, man, we believe we're gonna be able to give you this chance, and you're going to get to go out there, and you are going to get to earn not just the starting role for this team this year, but you are going to get to earn the opportunity to prove to the rest of the National Football League that you are a quality starter and get yourself a fat stat contract somewhere else in this league next year to be a starter and get that big money, get that big payday. But now you lost at least 1 week, 1 week of opportunity because a doctor can't administer a pain shot correctly. Dude, I feel bad for Tyrod Taylor. That is a hell of a way to lose an opportunity. All right, 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number to call in. Text us at 71307, 71307. Push this little button right here, and the text line is officially open. Shoot us a text at 71307. Start that text with ESPN so it filters through to Diesel and I, and we will read. Here's a couple of texts that have come in so far. At ESPN, Rob, what do you think of Mark referring to Drew Brees as washed up and the Saints will never get to a Super Bowl with him again? I'll tell you what, I will address that on the flip side. And then this one, ESPN, Dan Quinn is the Will Muschamp of the NFL. All the talent in the world wouldn't make a difference. A bad coach is a bad coach. Yikes. Yikes. I got news. I don't necessarily think that's a terribly wrong take. I know that came in as a shot. I know that came as a dig, as an insult. But I don't think it's that hot of a hot take, to tell you the truth. I don't know if it's not incorrect. I got to tell you, I got to think that there are at least a handful of coordinators in the NFL right now that would be doing better work with that Falcons offense and with that Falcons defense than Dan Quinn is doing right now. That team is too talented to be where they are. Too talented. That's not an awful take. All right, well, we come back here in just a minute. Is Drew Brees washed up? Will the Saints be able to win another Super Bowl under him? I will address Mark Ryan's comments when we return here in just a minute. My name is Rob Brown. Diesel's back in the studio on the ones and twos. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Drew Brees is going to turn 42 years old. Drew Brees ranked 6th to last last year in one statistical category, and I'll tell you what it is in just a minute. But I am going to humbly disagree with my colleague here at ESPN Upstate, Mark Ryan. I did not get a chance to listen to the show yesterday. Had a couple of errands I had to run around. I get to listen to all the show, but apparently I missed a segment where Mark Ryan said, according to a texter at 71307, 71307, Rob, what do you think of Mark referring to Drew Brees as washed up and the Saints will never get to a Super Bowl with him again? Couldn't disagree more, all right? Couldn't disagree more. Let's take a look at where Drew Brees stands as he approaches his 42nd birthday. Does he still got it? Let's start with this. I would take Drew Brees over probably 27, 26 other quarterbacks in the NFL today. And this is not me being a Saints fan. I'm just looking at this as an NFL analyst, all right? I pride myself, I pride myself on being objective when I talk about my own team on the radio. Aaron Rodgers, I would take A-Rod over Drew Brees. I would take Patrick Mahomes. I would take Lamar Jackson over Drew Brees. And there's probably a few, maybe two or three more top end, but those three come immediately to mind. Now, let's look at the New Orleans Saints for the past 3 years under Drew Brees as he has aged into his 40s, shall we? In the last three years, the Saints have gone to the playoffs 3 years. In the last two seasons, the Saints have finished the regular season with a 13-3 record. How many other NFL teams can say they were near that level of success? Now, granted, we're only talking regular season here. How many other teams in the last 3 years can say that they have gone 13-3 in two of those years and made the playoffs in the other one? The answer is none. No other team has had that level of success, with the exception of, in fact, I don't even think the Patriots did it, playing out of the AFC least for those past couple of years. But no other team has had that level of regular season success. Now we can look at the playoffs, okay? The Saints have lost in each round of the playoffs over the last three seasons. Last year, a refreshed, healthy, hungry Minnesota Vikings came down to the Superdome in the wild card round and knocked them off. They turned around and got blowed up off the field in the NFC divisional round on the road at San Francisco, where the 49ers, your eventual NFC champions, just absolutely beast-slapped them around for a full 60, right? The year before that, Jared Goff and the LA Rams beat them in the NFC championship game. And anybody who would watch that game knows that the LA Rams did not beat the New Orleans Saints. They were gifted a victory by the officials in that game, and that was the missed pass interference call. Because here's the thing. I'm not going to break down that game all over again. If you to this day do not believe that that was a pass interference call, then just hang up the glasses because you don't know sports, all right? You don't know sports. Diesel, you're not a big NFL guy. Was that a pass interference on the Rams against the Saints in the 2018 NFC Championship game?
I don't remember.
Get out of here. Get out. I mean, don't actually get out.
I don't sit and watch the play over and over and over again and stew on it like you do.
You don't need to watch it over and over. You needed to watch it one time. You needed to see it one time in real time. I was at a bar called Shalimar Cheers. I can tell you exactly where I was. It was the biggest sports travesty of my life. I was sitting at Shalimar Cheers Bar down in Shalimar, Florida. The Grand Metropolitan Shalimar, Florida. I was with a bunch of Saints fans. And we all started getting up and boogieing around the bar because we knew we had just won that football game. We were going to take it down. It was going to be first and 10 inside of the 10-yard line, down around the 5 or so. The Saints were going to either A, punch in the touchdown and put the game out of reach, or B, they were going to eat up another minute 45 of the 2 minutes remaining. And even if we only kicked the field goal, it was going to be a two-score game, and the Rams were going to have about 30 seconds to come up with two scores. Wasn't going to happen. Saints won that game. Except for, then comes the phantom no call out of the officials. Anyway, point is, Saints should have gone to the Super Bowl that year. I don't know that they win that game where the New England Patriots absolutely bitch-slapped the LA Rams for a full 60. I don't know. But I do know it would have been a better game than what the Rams put on the field behind Jared Goff that day. That's just a fact. Brady v. Brees would have been a better competition. Then, of course, you had the 2017 Minnesota Miracle where Stephon Diggs caught the ball on a Hail Mary running down the sideline with no time left on the clock. You can't chalk that up to Drew Brees. He did not have a great game that day. But I think there's this thought that the playoffs are easy, right? The playoffs are the home of three-point football games. Very rarely do you get a blowout in the playoffs. That's why the best teams are there, and it's the playoffs. It's a joke to think that Drew Brees should just waltz through the playoffs, even when the Saints are a good football team. Now, Let's look at some of those numbers, okay? A couple of things happened. Number one, the Saints spent about $50 million this season to get Drew Brees a team-friendly contract. They accomplished that. They brought in Cesar Ruiz, the guard out of Michigan, the guard center out of Michigan, to shore up the offensive line a little bit, which has been one of the best offensive lines in the National Football League for the past few years. They brought in Emmanuel Sanders from the San Francisco 49ers, and although he and Brees have not appeared to be on the same page yet, I want to remind you all, that there was no preseason. There was no time for Sanders and Brees to get on the same page. That relationship will develop, as will quarterbacks and wide receiver relationships around the entire league. So let's look at numbers, right? Let's look at numbers. Last year, for the full season, do you know who the most accurate quarterback in the National Football League was? I will give you a hint. It rhymes with clue trees, okay? Drew Brees was accurate on 83.2% of his pass attempts. 83.2% of his pass attempts. The only consistent problem Drew Brees has is that he doesn't have the deep ball anymore. He was the sixth worst deep ball passer in the National Football League. He doesn't have the deep ball anymore. And yes, that makes the short ball more difficult. Safeties and cornerbacks are not afraid of the deep ball, so when Mike Thomas goes streaking down the sideline, you're a little more comfortable to have single man-to-man coverage on him and commit another defensive back to the short ball. But if Brees is hitting with an accuracy rate of 82+% or 83+% in the NFL, when no other quarterbacks are above 80, I think I want to say one or two quarterbacks were like 79.8 or right at 80, something like that off the top of my head. In the playoffs over the past 3 years, Drew Brees is, 83.3% accurate. No other quarterback's been doing that rate in the playoffs. Other guys like Patty Mahomes are making plays in other ways, right? But Drew Brees is making them with his arm. 83.3%. The problem the Saints have run into is they've run into buzzsaws, and They have been in spots where they have come up against just buzzsaw teams and not been there, right? It's not been there. Drew Brees' New Orleans Saints are still a viable Super Bowl contender. The league is much younger. The league is better, right? You've got the Kansas City Chiefs. You've got Lamar Jackson and what he's doing with the Ravens. This week will be a big test because Aaron Rodgers and the Packers suddenly look like the Packers of old. You've got the 49ers, who last year defensively were about as good as you could ask a team to be. You can't win the Super Bowl every year. Only one team gets to do it. So can the Saints win the Super Bowl under Drew Brees still? Yes. Yes. They are. They are still good enough. Granted, the deep ball isn't there anymore. The deep ball isn't there anymore, and it makes the short ball a little more difficult. But if you are going to offer up the most difficult coverage in the NFL, there is not a quarterback. There is not a quarterback in the league that I want throwing against tight zone coverage near the line more than I want Drew Brees doing it. Even at 41 going on 42 years old, the guy's numbers are there. The accuracy is there. Well over 2/3 of his passes end up on their mark. And this year, if Michael Thomas comes back either this week or next, you've got a guy who is widely considered one of the best 2 or 3 wide receivers in the league. You've added Emmanuel Sanders, who was a huge reason that the 49ers did what they did last year, and so he's on out. You've got a wide receiver core with Jared Cook as a tight end playing that third role. With Tre'Quan Smith, the 2017 UCF Golden Knights National Championship winner's representative, who has stepped up in a big way this year and come up with some clutch third down spots. You got Alvin Kamara catching balls out of the backfield, arguably, with the exception of Christian McCaffrey, the best pass-catching running back in the National Football League. You got all that going on. And a quarterback with an 83% completion rating in the regular season in the playoffs. If you put this on Drew Brees, you're not watching the Saints. I would put it more on Sean Payton than I would Drew Brees. The play calling for a guy who is an offensive mastermind tends to get predictable in big-time situations. The play calling isn't what it was in the early Brees-Payton era. I put it on Sean Payton as much as I do anybody else. If you think that that Oakland Raiders L was a result of Drew Brees, yeah, he probably didn't play his best game, you know, without his number one receiver and with two of his starting offensive linemen going down in that game. That game was on the defense. How long did Drew Brees have the ball in his hands on offense? About 20 minutes. About 20 minutes. About one-third of the game was the offense on the field. The defense could not get off the field. The Raiders were going on these long, sustained drives that ended up with seven every time down. The offense did not show up. But without Mike Thomas there, it was a big blow, and they were learning new chemistry. Oh, and by the way, in a year, excuse me, for an offense that has shown over the years that it is better for them not to take period of time. They struggle after the bye week. In the playoffs, they have traditionally struggled coming off of a bye week in the playoffs. This team has not had its time to find its chemistry. It is not time to slam the red panic button on the New Orleans Saints just yet, and it is certainly not time to lay that problem at the feet of Drew Brees. You don't have to be an NFL fan. If I offered you right now, Diesel, Drew Brees or Teddy Bridgewater to run your team for 1 year, which one of those two guys are you picking?
Drew.
Yeah, of course you are. In the NFC South alone, if I offered you Drew Brees or Matt Ryan, not Ryan, you're taking Drew Brees. Maybe you take Tom Brady over Drew Brees, though statistically speaking, Brees has been turning better seasons than Brady. Drew Brees is arguably the best quarterback in the NFC South right this very second, right now. But he's washed? I'm not ready. No, he's not as good as he used to be. He's 41 years old. Of course he's not. No, he doesn't move like he used to. He's 41 years old. No, he doesn't have the deep ball like he used to. He's 41 years old. But to say he's washed, that he can't win a Super Bowl? Get out of here, man. Get out of here. Couple of texts real quick before we get out of here. ESPN, Rob, as I tell my kids on the team I coach, if it's only a foul, say it with me. Rob, if the refs call it. Yeah, this isn't your kid's little league team, man. This is the National Football League. If we play by those rules, why don't we just let the players call it? Get out of here with that. That's weak, and you know it. At ESPN, Rob, dude, if the radio thing doesn't work out, you could totally be a used car salesman because I am ready to go out and buy an old Brees right now. Like I said, 27 other quarterbacks in the NFL, you would take Drew Brees over that guy today. If you're telling me you would take 27 other quarterbacks, but you think Drew Brees isn't one of the best four or five, I don't know what to tell you. I don't. 83% completion percent, 83% accuracy rating, highest accuracy mark in the National Football League. End of discussion. Quick break. We wrap up hour number one when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.